Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Let's please turn to the book of Acts, Maasei Shlichim, Acts chapter 19. And I'm going to read today from verse 8 to the end of the chapter. We are dealing with the third missionary journey of the Apostle Paul of Shaul. And from verse 8 to verse 41, we have the preaching of the Apostle Paul in Ephesus, and really this is message number 2 of the third missionary journey in the city of Ephesus. And we begin from verse 8, and I begin by reading, please follow me. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened, and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them, and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelled in Asia heard the word of the Lord Yeshua, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirit the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Yeshua, whom Paul preaches." And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Yeshua I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" And the men in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, and overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also, dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used the curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, "After I have been there, I must also see Rome." So he sent into Macedonia 2 of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Aristeus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a season. In the same time, there arose no small stir about that way. For certain men named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation, and said, Sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath, and cried out, saying, Great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companion in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not, and certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing, and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with the hand, and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, Great is Diana of the Ephesians. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, Ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of the Ephesians is a worshipper of the great goddess Diana, and of the image which fell down from Jupiter? Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, ye ought to be quiet and to do nothing rashly. For ye have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches, nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open, and there are deputies. Let them implead one another. But if ye inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse. And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. I'm going to end with the reading today. It's a long reading in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, chapter 19, as we have read from verse 8 to verse 41. This is part of the third missionary journey of the Apostle Paul, which really began in Acts chapter 18 and verse 23, and will conclude somewhere in Acts chapter 21 and verse 17. The third missionary journey of Shaul, of Paul, who was going about, traveling from place to place, to encourage the believers and to establish the saints. I mentioned it many times, and I'll do it again. The reason that we come together for Bible classes and Bible sessions and ministry meeting, whether it is Fridays or Saturdays or Shabbat, the reason that we come together as believers is to get established in the truths of the Word of God, very similar to what Shaul Paul have done when he was traveling on his missionary journey. He was doing, number one, preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, and he was doing, number two, establishing the believers in their faith in our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. Well, We are now finding ourselves in chapter 19 of the book of Acts in the city of Ephesus. He have already been in Ephesus. Now he comes again to Ephesus. He have been very short time in Ephesus. We read about it in Acts chapter 18. But he comes again, and two events have already happened in Ephesus. Number one, the last verses of chapter 18, a Jewish man by the name of Apollos, an eloquent man, mighty in the scripture, needed to know the word of God more perfectly. And it was Aquila and Priscilla who instructed this Jewish believer more perfectly in the things of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah and the present dispensation of the church age. Then the second thing that happened already in the city of Ephesus, there were 12 men who were disciples of Yohanan HaMadbil, John the Baptizer, and they also needed to know the truth concerning the Messiah Yeshua. And even though they have been baptized unto John baptism, that was not sufficient because John baptism, Tvila, pointing out to the coming of the Messiah, it was not what is known today, Messianic baptism or Messiah baptism. So therefore, they needed to become believers in Yeshua and to be baptized into what is known to be Christian baptism, Messianic baptism, to be baptized in the name of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. That's what the Apostle Paul instructed them in verses 1 to verse 7 of Acts chapter 19. And now we are moving on to the portion in which we read today in the rest of Acts chapter 19. 3 points here in this chapter. The first thing we find Paul speaking in the synagogue, verses 8, 9, and 10. And you remember, brothers and sisters, we have pointed to it many times, wherever the apostle Paul have gone to a city, he have always have gone first to the synagogue of his brethren, of the Jewish people. And that's what we find him doing at Ephesus again. Now, he was already in the synagogue before he started his third missionary journey, but he's going again to the synagogue. And look at this, brothers and sisters. We find out that he's preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, in Hebrew, we'll call it Malchut HaElohim, Malchut HaShamayim, the kingdom of heavens, or the kingdom of God. Notice verse 8. He went into the synagogue. He spake boldly by the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Now, this is interesting because this expression, the kingdom of God, imagine he's coming to the synagogue. He's standing there in front. All the Jewish communities gathering together on a Shabbat day, and actually have done it for 3 months. It was the longest time that we find him remaining in a synagogue. And for 3 months he was preaching again and again concerning the kingdom of God. Now, why does he preach concerning the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is a kingdom that was promised to our forefathers, the Jewish people. It was promised through the prophets, whether it is Isaiah, Yeshayahu, or whether it is through Daniel, or many of the prophets of Israel concerning a coming kingdom. There is a day coming, God had promised our people Israel, where the king, the Messiah, will reign in righteousness. He will rule out of the city of Jerusalem. You remember Yeshua, after his resurrection, and the first disciples, the Jewish disciples, came to him in Acts chapter 1, and they said to him, listen to this, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? You see, the first believers in our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, even before the church was born in Acts chapter 2, already in Acts chapter 1, after the resurrection of the Messiah, they wanted to know about the kingdom of God, the kingdom that God promised our people. But something had happened, and the kingdom was postponed because Israel, the nation, have rejected the Mashiach, the Messiah, in his first coming. It was not an accident, but it was already prophesied by the Hebrew prophets. Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We did not accept the Messiah, and the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. So the kingdom, when the Messiah will reign, had been postponed because Israel rejected the Messiahship of Yeshua in his first coming. But the kingdom will come. The promises to our people Israel will surely come to pass, because if it will not come to pass, we will never be sure whether the church promises will ever come to pass. If God is not going to be faithful to bring about the promises of the kingdom to his beloved nation Israel, what make us sure that he will bring about his promises to his beloved church saints that he had promised that one day he's going to take us to the Father's house and we're going to be with him forever? So, beloved brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul is speaking about the kingdom of God and the program of the kingdom. And so he's standing in a synagogue, speaking to the Jewish people in that community every Shabbat for 3 months, and he's telling them the kingdom program. The Messiah came, the Messiah was rejected, the Messiah gonna come again, and the Messiah will be accepted. And right now, God, in his wisdom, building the body of Messiah, which is called the Ecclesia, the called out one, the church of the living God. So while we don't have all these words that I just mentioned, but the very fact that he preached unto them concerning the kingdom of God, you would understand what the Apostle Paul, what Shaul have done. He was speaking about the fact that right now the kingdom is not established, but wait and see, when the church age is going to conclude, God is going to establish the kingdom that he promised to the nation of Israel in the city of Jerusalem. And so, when he does that, and he presenting the kingdom of God, notice what we learn in verse 9. There were diverse individuals there whose heart was hardened. You know, every time when you go everywhere, whether it is Jewish people or whether it is Gentiles, there are always those whom God softened their hearts and melt their hearts, and they recognize that they need a Messiah. But there are always those that their hearts were hardened by Satan, by self-will, and their hearts are so hardened, and they believe not, and they speak evil of that way. Now, let me pause here for a moment. Do you know, when we talk today about Christianity, this name, Christianity, is not really mentioned in Scripture. I know that we read in Acts chapter 11, then they were first called Christians in the city of Antioch. But really, if you translate that word Christians, you will understand that it comes from the word Christos in Greek, which is come from the Hebrew word Mashiach, Messiah. So when those early believers in Antioch were called Christians, they were really called Messiah followers, Meshichim, Christ Mashiach followers. But here, beloved, as in other passages in Scripture, we actually hear what people think about those who follow the Messiah. Notice it says in verse 9, diverse individuals whose hearts were hardened, they did not believe and they spake against that way. This expression, that way, it's really, in other words, saying those people who have gone in that way, in the way of Yeshua the Messiah, in the way of God's teaching through Yeshua the Messiah, that way. That's what it was called in Hebrew at that time, and even among the Gentile world, in Hebrew we call it Haderech, the way. And if you remember, it was Yeshua in John 14 who called himself. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to come to God, you got to come through that way, through the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. So they spoke evil against that way. Actually, it was the first time in the New Testament that this expression called the way is mentioned in Acts chapter 9 in verse 2, when the apostle Paul, before he became a believer in Yeshua the Messiah, he himself persecuted those who had followed that way. Notice that in verse 2 of Acts 9. He desired of him from the high priest, this is Shaul, letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if any be found of this way, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. It became a known name for the followers of Yeshua. They call them the people who follow this way or that way. It was the way to God through the person of Yeshua the Messiah, who said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So here imagine Shaul Paul preaching in a synagogue, and there were those whose heart hardened. And they happened to be Jewish. And we know that very much in the biblical account. Because we read so much about the Jewish people, we often find Jewish opposition to the message of the gospel. Now, of course, if you read other history of the Gentile world, you find up so much Gentile opposition to the message of the gospel. But here we find in the synagogue those who oppose. And you notice what happened when Paul saw that they have opposed that message and spoke evil against that way, before all the multitude of the Jewish community there in the synagogue in the city of Ephesus, he departed from them and he separated the disciples. Now, this is interesting, because within the synagogue of Ephesus, there were other Jewish people who became disciples of Yeshua the Messiah, who followed the Messiah Yeshua, who believed in the truth concerning Yeshua the Messiah. And what did Paul did? He separated the believers from the synagogue in the city of Ephesus from those who did not believe, and they hardened their hearts. So he separated them from them, and then he went elsewhere to teach the message of the Messiahship of Yeshua to a school that is called the School of Tyrannus. And apparently this school was a Greek school where there was an intellectual knowledge being taught there. And the Apostle Paul used that school to teach the message of the Messiahship of Yeshua in this school. And it's so beautiful because there he spent 2 years, beloved brothers and sisters, in accordance with verse 10, that he continuously was teaching and instructing those who wanted to hear the message of the gospel. This is something that is very important. If we are wise, we cannot force the gospel on people. You cannot make a believer out of a person who does not want to believe. That's the beauty about the message of the gospel. Because you and I never need to force people to become Christians or Messiah followers. Listen, if a person rejects the gospel, he or she is going to end up suffering eternal loss. So we can't force it on them. We can't push them. It's a divine work. The Spirit of God, take the Word of God, appropriate it to a man or woman, convict them in the power of the Spirit of God, and that person become born again from above. You can't force it. You can't buy it. You can't do anything. You can't work for it. It is a gift of God. And if somebody rejects that gift, that's fine. It is only their loss. Eventually, they're going to have to stand before God, and God's going to ask them, what have you done with the message of the Messiahship of Yeshua? Both Jew and Gentile alike will have to answer to God's question. So what Paul did? He separated the disciples, went to that school of Tyrannus, and there for 2 years, notice verse 10, discontinued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwell in Asia heard the word of the Lord Yeshua, both Jewish people as well as Greeks. He is teaching. Those who came to learn maybe came in and out. Some come, some go, some come, some go. That's one of the reasons why I'm so thankful for the privilege that we have here in our Holy Scriptures and Israel Bible studies and ministry meeting. We don't come here to play games. We don't come here to do anything else except to study the Word of God and have fellowship with our brothers and sisters. And people come and people go and people stay. And those that have come and gone, at least we can honestly say we have given them the truth of the Word of God. The rest of it is between them and our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Whether they're going to take it and build upon it and grow and teach others, it's entirely up to them. But we have to be faithful in giving the sincere milk of the word where people can hear the message of the gospel. So 2 years, in addition to the 3 months that he had been in the synagogue, 2 years in that school where people were coming in for other classes in order to learn intellectual knowledge, human wisdom, philosophy, here the Apostle Paul, Shaul, teaching the word of God. It is amazing in a pagan world, in a pagan city, in a pagan school, there is a man of God teaching the word of God and presenting the person of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, the Son of God, the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of this world. So verses 8, 9, and 10, we have Shaul Paul speaking in the synagogue and ultimately leaving the synagogue and speaking and teaching the word of God in that school of Tyrannus for 2 years, consistently and faithfully. Just to pause here for a moment. Maybe he could get discouraged, like sometimes we get discouraged. You teach, and it seems to be very little response. But we never know what God can do when we sincerely share the word of God. God can take his word and he can multiply and bless others later on, because we read, everyone, all they that dwelt in Asia, they have heard. How they have heard? They not all came into the classroom where Paul had been, but they heard by word of mouth. Somebody left a meeting and Afghanistan says, listen, this man told me about the God of Israel who sent the Messiah and that he died for our sins and he provide forgiveness of sins. Listen, is it possible? And the Spirit of God can use the Word of God to lead many.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.